Amen. 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 Are you ready? Yes. Amen. Would you go please to John? We'll start with John 3:16 and John 13:34 and 35. I'm going to share them both out of the Passion Translation. Then we're going to go over to Deuteronomy 30. John 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but will experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to..." Say it out loud. "And to rescue it." This is a hunch your neighbor time and say, "You're a rescue worker." Amen. Amen. I've said it before and I'm going to keep saying it. Rescue workers don't pry into your business to find out what's happening, what's going on. Okay. All their job is to rescue you. Amen. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, say, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you." How many of you has Jesus loved from a distance? Just checking, make sure. And we're supposed to love others the same way he loved. So that's one phrase we can erase from our vocabulary. Amen. "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." This lets me know, folks, that there are people out there who say they're followers of Christ, but it's not genuine. The only way, according to Jesus, the only way people will know we are the real deal is when they see us loving one another. Because if we can't love one another, then we can't love them. Amen? Amen. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, King James Version, because we're in the series called The Matter of Choice. God said, "I call heaven and earth to record against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed shall live." See, the purpose of this message is to help us understand that we need to change the way we view our choices. We're too casual about right and wrong. Too casual about it. We have all of these sayings, you know, to support that. You know, it's like it's easier to get forgiven than to get permission. Well, you already know that it may be wrong. So why are you choosing to do it? We say, "Think God's still working with me," you know, in this area. You know, I'm a work in progress. You know, why are you judging me? So sue me. Say, okay, no, you know, see, you can't sue me because God says you don't take your brother or sister to court. Okay. But we're just too casual about right and wrong. But when you look at it in terms of, this isn't a matter about if it's right and wrong. This is a matter of life or death. See, we're not casual about that. Okay. I mean, when you get a report and it's a look, either lose the weight. I'll say it to you this way. Unfortunately, I had to say something to one of my nephews. And I said to him, this isn't a matter for you of when you're going to get better. If you don't change your lifestyles, you're not going to get better. So the choice is change your lifestyle or plan your funeral. He died. He died. Would not change his lifestyle, and some that were close to him would not help him change, but would help him do some things that he shouldn't do. We need to understand that the choices that we make are not choices of right or wrong. They're choices of life or death. Say all choices? Yes, all choices. Well, I'll tell you that in a few minutes. Actually, it is right here in my notes. God didn't say to Adam, of all the trees thou may freely eat, but if you eat from the tree in the center of the garden, now that's just wrong. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you eat from the tree in the center, I've given you all of these trees. You can eat from them. But if you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. He gave Adam a choice. The choice wasn't right or wrong, folks. It was life or death. And we need to start understanding that the choices we make are going to produce either life or death. I can make wrong choices concerning my relationship with my wife and cause death to our marriage. See, it's not a matter of I'm right or I'm wrong. It's, do I want life or do I want death? Period. And every choice we make, we need to start looking at it from that context, and we'll start understanding how important our choices are. Look at 1 Peter 1. I alluded to this earlier, right after praise and worship. This is in the Passion Translation. Most of the verses will be in the Passion Translation. Says, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. You need to think about that. Everything that we could ever need has already been deposited in us. For all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. That same thought is echoed, it's also found in Ephesians 1:3. It says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father. Everything, every spiritual blessing. Every. What does every mean? Right? Yeah, it's like that word all. Nothing is left out. Everything that God has to give to us, he's given. He's given. So there's really no need to ask for more of him. He's already given us all of him. What's left after that? What's left is our choice to receive what he's given and act appropriately. That's all that's left. Because if he gave it to us, obviously it's something that he knows we needed or we need. Otherwise, he would have given us some of him. But it says every spiritual blessing, not some spiritual blessings. Every single blessing you ever read about in the Bible was given to us already. It's already our possession. The scriptures also promise us that God shall supply all our need. We can do all things through Christ, and God's grace is sufficient. We can cast our cares and burdens on him. We can love and forgive like he loves and forgives. We can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But when everybody's not experiencing that. And so the question is, why? It can't be the devil. I'm serious. You know why I can say it? As a matter of fact, I'll go one step further. It's impossible for it to be the devil. Well, how can I say that? Because Jesus said, behold, I give thee power over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So if we've been given, or since we've been given all the power, and one translation breaks it down even further, it says spiritual and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. So since that's so, how can the enemy do anything to us? He can. So it's not the devil that's stopping us from achieving what God is, or receiving what God has already given us. It's the choices that we make. That's what stops us. We make the wrong choice and the bottom falls out. And we're not making the wrong choices ignorantly. We're making them consciously. See, it's obvious to me that Adam had to teach both of his sons about giving sacrifices. And if you study that out, you'll find that out. But Abel decided he wasn't going to give a sacrifice based on what he think he'd be missing out. He wanted to give God the absolute best that he could because he was God. His brother thought more of himself and wanted to keep the best parts and give God what was left over. Both of them had the same information. They had the same information, came from the same source, made different choices. Why? Based on what was in their heart. So if you find yourself in a position where your choices don't seem to be lining up, or I should say the results of your choices don't seem to be lining up, you may want to go back and check out what was the motive of your heart when you made that choice. Where were you? Well, what were you thinking? Where were your thoughts? Were they on you? Or were they on God? And I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. So, thank you. Second Peter, yes, thank you. 2 Peter 1:3. I just have Peter, so I figured it must be one. Amen. Thank you. See, the problem is it's not that we're not making choices. We're not making wise choices. By the title of this message is Choose Wisely. I was watching, I saw how many of you saw that Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Okay. And they were going after the Holy Grail, which allegedly is the cup that Jesus drank from. You know, and you had one group that was going after it because they wanted the wealth and the riches and the fame and the glory and the power. I have this cup. I have this power of life and death. And they got to a place where the cup was, but it wasn't sitting there by itself. It was mixed in with all of these others. And now you had to choose which one was the right one. And the bad guy, he looked at it, he said, there's so many cups here. Well, his girlfriend said, let me choose. Rule number one, don't ever let anybody make choices for you. Okay. Since you have to pay the price, you might as well make the choice. Okay. But she chose a cup, very ornate, studded with jewels, gold carvings and things. He's like, yes, this is the cup. Okay. And the man drank from the cup and died. And the guardian looked at him, and, you know, of course, with the special effects, with the way he died, his eyes and all, he looked and said, he chose poorly. Folks, some of us choose poorly. And we go through the same type of experiences where we feel horribly and things happen to us, and we go all the pieces, and we don't understand. Lord, what's going on? He chose poorly. Now, Indiana Jones, he looked at that cup, and he went through all of them, and he said something that was key. I don't know if the script writers were Christian or thought about it or whatever, but he looked at among all of these cups and saw this very plain, unassuming cup, and he said, this is the cup of a carpenter. He identified with Christ. See, when we make our choices should always cause us to identify with Christ. That's what, because we're presented with there are many choices, there are many things. People try and convince you there's more than just one way. And they're right. But every way is not right for us. So we have to look at these choices and say, all right, which one of these will cause me to identify with Christ? And make that choice. Because that choice will cause us to be right 100% of the time. And not just sometime. And but again, the only way to find out, he had to make the choice. He drank from it, and he got life, and he had the ability to heal his father who had been shot. And the guardian said, he chose wisely. Okay. That's what I want. That's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to choose wisely. And he stacked. See, when we make the poor choices, we really have to work at it. God stacked the deck so that we can choose wisely. He sent the Holy Ghost to guide us into all truth. One translation says he'll guide us into all the truth there is. So that means if you're about to make the wrong choice, the Holy Ghost is saying, don't make that choice. The Holy Ghost is saying, no, go this direction. Holy Ghost is saying, no, talk to that person. Holy Ghost will say, invest your money in this stock. I don't want you to tithe. I want you to give $100 over your tithe. We're like, be behind me, Satan. No. See, because God's godly choices often cause us to have to do something Jesus did. Let's go to Philippians 2. I don't know where that is on the list, but Philippians 2, I need to find it on my list. Verse 5, this is the Passion Translation. This is the Passion Translation. It says, and consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before you. Let this mindset become your motivation. Or for the purpose of this lesson, let this mindset become the foundation of your choices. He existed in the form of God, talking about Jesus, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human, verse 8. He humbled himself. Folks, we have to learn, when we make choices, the first thing we have to do is humble ourselves. Because when we humble ourselves, we're setting the stage for us to make a godly choice. because we're making a choice based on God's perspective, God's point of view, and not our own. Too many times our choices are made based on our convenience or on what we like to do, what we enjoy doing, not necessarily what we need. I mean, a lot of folks in here probably heard you know, medical folks say, you know, you need to lose weight. Yet we make choices to do things that cause us to gain weight. It's not that nobody put a gun to your head and said, you eat that cookie. You know. Or if you're only going to eat one, it's a no, eat three. No, we look at it. Well, you don't look at it. I look at it, and I say, these cookies are good. Two more won't hurt. No, not at that moment they won't hurt. But you keep doing that. My orthopedist told me, he said, Reverend, the best thing you can do for your knees is lose 20 pounds. The best thing. The world said, get a knee replacement. There's a program that I watch. I don't watch it all the way through. I just watch some segments of it because it just tells me things about people. It's called My 600-Pound Life. And there is this doctor that does gastric bypasses. But he won't do it unless the person demonstrated that they've made the choice to lose the weight. He doesn't say, you know, come back after you've lost 10 pounds. He'll say, come back in 2 months, I want you 100 pounds lighter. 2 months. Because he wants people who are committed. Because everybody else, everything else, it's the waste of time. And I see some, they're complaining. I know how it felt walking around with 300 pounds. I can't imagine how it must feel walking around with 600 pounds and you're not 6'6". You're 5'6". But he won't do it unless they make the choice to lose the weight. And it has to be proven that they were serious about that choice. Folks, we have to prove that we're serious about the choices, about making choices that line up with who we say we are in Christ. Now, I want you to go to John 14. Because this is foundation. These lay the foundation for our choices. Again, it's always a very familiar passage. This is out of the Amplified Bible. I may read it out of two other translations. We'll see. But in the Amplified, John 14, verse 29, Jesus said, "I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in me. I will not speak to you much longer, for the ruler of the world, Satan, is coming, and he has no claim on me, no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me. But so that the world may know without any doubt that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me and act in full agreement with him." That's what Jesus said. He said, what's important here is that Satan have no claim on me. None. The Passion Translation says, "So when all of these things happen, you will still trust and cling to me. I won't speak to you much longer, for the ruler of this dark world is coming, but he has no power over me, for he has nothing to use against me." Think about that. He has nothing to use against me. The choices that you make will determine whether or not the enemy has access to you. Like I said, I started reading. I got through the first chapter of Pastor Rick's new book, Life in the Combat Zone. And in that book, he says in the first couple of pages, he says, in order to stand our ground and fight, we as believers have to live lives that leave no doors open to the enemy in order to stand our ground. See, we're not supposed to be standing our ground. We're supposed to be gaining new ground. But because we're not making the right choices, we keep going in this circle. Or that we keep going around the mountain, same mountain. We've been around it so much we can go around it blindfolded. What? Because of the choices that we're making. It's not allowing us to advance. We're leaving too many doors open, and we're believing God for deliverance that he's already provided. Just because we've made wrong choices. We need to change that, make right choices, so we can start advancing. Again, the reason this world, well, let me say it this way. Everyone is concerned, you know, it's transgender this and same-sex that, you know, and the church is all up in arms about it. Why is this happening? Because it's happening in the church. Amen. That's why it's happening. Because the church at large is not making choices that reflect God. It's not making choices in line with God's calling and call and purpose for the church as an institution. And so people looking from the outside don't see a group of people operating in harmony with the scriptures. You have well-known ministers that are bisexual or homosexual. Well-known. And so now you have the church. They can't even agree, but we're going to tell someone else. How are we going to tell someone how they should conduct themselves in their marriage when the percentage of divorce rates among Christians is higher than divorce rates among transgenders and same-sex marriages? Higher, and they're living in sin, but they're staying together. We have to do something about the choices that we make, folks. We have to start making better choices. We have to start making choices that identify with who we say we are in Christ. When making choices, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Will a choice I'm about to make give Satan something he can use against me? Am I choosing to take on something that really belongs to him? Doesn't belong to me. Will my choice give me something that's in common with the devil? We have to ask ourselves those questions. See, if we give Satan something to use against us, guess what he'll do with it? He'll use it against us. If we give something in common with him, he's going to use that to his advantage. But Jesus, there was a reason why, and I like to think, why did Jesus say what he said? There was a reason why he said, Satan is coming, but he has nothing in me. He was telling folks, Satan's coming. What are you getting upset? He doesn't have anything in you, so what are you getting upset about? If he doesn't have anything in you, he can't affect you in a negative way. But if he does, if you've opened the door, if you've identified with something that belongs to him, he has a right to it. We have to make better choices. We have to stop giving the enemy access. Second part of that is verse 31, where Jesus said, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me and act in full agreement with him. So this is how we have to do something that we probably, most of us, don't do on all of our choices. And that is, okay, Lord, I can go this way or that way? Which way do you want me to go? So, which way? And let him tell you. Thank you for leading me in the right direction. What if you missed it and you found yourself in the wrong direction? You made the wrong choice. What do you do then? You stop and correct it. If I miss an exit on the highway, I don't say, oh, I missed it, and just keep going straight. That's dumb, isn't it? Well, it's equally as dumb when we know we made the wrong choice, but we're too embarrassed to admit it, so we just keep going. Honey, are we supposed to get off this exit? Oh, I'm going a different way. No. It's just like you using the GPS system. It'll tell you, especially if you use Waze, you know, this isn't a commercial for it, but it'll tell you to go a route you never heard of. But next thing you know, you come back on and you turn on the news, you found out there was a major traffic accident. You said, I didn't see any of that. That's right. The navigation system took you around it. It was unfamiliar territory, but we will listen to this electronic device and not listen to the Holy Ghost. And the principle is the same. This device, with its system of satellites and other people, knows what's happening miles ahead of you. And it calculates that at the speed you're going, you're going to be in this area in about 15 minutes, and the problem's still going to be there. So it'll tell you, in quarter of a mile, turn right, then left. Like, what in the world? Why would I get off there for? No, you get off. We're coming back from Virginia. It routed us around a big traffic. It said, traffic reported ahead. And we look at each other, and it says, in quarter of a mile, exit right. And it took us down these streets, and we got back on the highway, moving right along at highway speed. Just took us right around. I had to make a choice to listen. I mean, we pay money for these devices and then don't listen to them. Jesus paid a price for us and then we turn around and don't listen to him. He loved us so much that he gave his life. That should prove to us that he wants what's best, that he only wants what's best for us. So when he gives us some instructions, it's for our good. We need to choose his way. Do you understand? First Peter 2, the Passion Translation, verse 21. Says, in fact, you were called to live this way because Christ also suffered in your place, leaving you his examples for you to follow. From translation says, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. How many of you believe we should be following in Jesus' steps? Well, he said, I do exactly what the Father commands me. In full agreement. So that means he doesn't do it grudgingly. Whatever Father says, he's in full agreement with. And he acts accordingly. We need to take the time and consider those things. We have to choose wisely. We have to make sure that our choice reflects who Jesus is. Because if our choice reflects who Jesus is, it will also be a reflection of who we are in Christ. You understand? Nudge your neighbor. Say, choose wisely. Choose wisely. I'm just making sure there isn't anything else he wants me to say right now, because I have more notes. But he's saying unhook, so I'm going to unhook. And this time I can give you more on Wednesday. Because we'll be here. I'm going to give you a lot Wednesday, because next Sunday I'll be in Pennsylvania. Remember our friend, Indiana Jones. When you're presented with all of these different choices, and some, here's the key, folks, some of them are going to look very appealing. Some of them are going to promise to bring you wealth and fame and fortune. And you're going to get all spiritual and say, yes, my Father's blessing me. No, you need to make yourself of no reputation. That means take on the attitude that you don't care if anyone knows it's you or not. You know, one of the things I remember, the times that I did go to church as a child, and I go to this church, and folks would make a big deal, you know, before offering would come. And, you know, sometimes the pastor would pull out and say, I'm starting everything off. I'm putting in $50. Everybody else that wants to join me and put in, you come here. You know, I'm going to say a special prayer for you. I don't have scripture and verse for that. You know, no, that's not choosing wisely. That's building yourself up. They're folks that offer, they want to do things for us, and we appreciate it. We really do. You know, but fortunately, my wife and I, we're in a position where we can clean our own house. And if we don't want to, we'll hire a service to do it. We can drive. We're excited about them perfecting Tesla, so that when we're at the age where they won't let us drive anymore, we just call a car, it comes, we tell it where we want to go, and it just takes us there. I mean, that's it. We're looking forward to that, but we are not ever going to require anyone to do anything. Because I'm the pastor, and she's the pastor's wife. No, we're children of God, just like you're children of God. And we have to humble ourselves, just like you have to humble yourselves. Our God supplies all our need. We are not going to fleece the sheep. And anyway, if we need a wool coat, God will provide it. Okay. I mean, those are the because it's a matter of life or death. This may sound strange, but forget right or wrong. Just forget it. Think about your actions and your choices in terms of life or death. I'm done. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you make it so simple. All we have to do is humble ourselves and listen to you, and we'll have everything that you've already given us. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us over these we don't know how many years. But Lord, we so treasure you and your Holy Spirit, and we thank you that every time we're about to make the wrong choice, that we will hear the prompting from the Holy Spirit and we'll yield to it. We thank you, Lord, for yet again giving us another opportunity to get this thing right. You are such a patient God. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.